What's good? I'm back. One and only Paul Masson. We are live from Vietnam. We got a special guest waiting, and he's live from the West Coast, where they got nothing but the best weather in all of America. And he's part of a hip-hop group that started in 95, known as The Visionaries. Let's bring on the one and only Realism, a.k.a. Lord Zen. Lord Zen, how you doing?
I'm blessed. You're going to have to hold on for a second because I had to go walk to the store. And we got some avionic acoustics going on right now. So little plane is all up in our sound space.
How's the weather?
All right, we're better now.
What's going on?
How's the weather?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's hot, dude. I live in the Central Valley, man. So it's like 102, 103 degrees right now.
Yeah, we had it like that a few weeks ago.
It's ridiculous.
So I want to start here. Your name. So your name stands for Realism. And you got the AKA Lord Zen. Is the Lord Zen part, is that like from Buddhism?
So it's a mixture. It's a mixture of things, as I feel like Zen essentially is everything and nothing. It's part of the philosophy. It's everything and nothing. And I feel like I can define myself by how I see the world and my being and how I intentionally radiate, but it's always going to hit other people the way that they need it to, or however way they need to perceive it in the moment, you know, whether that's a complete misinterpretation of me or right on the nose. So Zen is that. And then Lord, as in the sense of I am my own self, Lord, master, like everyone, you know, like we're the kings and queens of our worlds. You know, we are the creators of our worlds and our experiences and whatever. But I went by that for a lot of years when I was younger. And realism is an acronym of a whole bunch of other names strung together with LZ and the realism being L. And Zen. So it's still in the name. I started using the acronym really, man, back in like 2004 or five, and you know, Google and all of those search engines separated me and they made me two people. so I had to put me back together, you know.
Yeah.
So I just started putting Lord Zen in quotation marks and then realism afterwards. And now years later, you can look me up and you'll get mainly me, and then you'll get some of those remnants of realism and Lord Zen.
Well, I was gonna ask, was Lord Zen like the alter ego? And apparently Google thought Lord Zen was the alter ego.
In a sense, man, but I feel like Zen and truest of the word after the journey that I've had, it's very befitting of the person that I am, the personality that I am, the being that I am. Like it fits. Like it's not it's not a name. It's not a name like Tiny and shit when somebody's like 6'5" and 250 pounds and shit, and everybody wants to call him Pee-wee. No, Zen actually fits, you know, because that
so
name came
to the name. Oh, okay. So I want to move to the name, like the Visionaries.
Visionaries. That was another one that came out of the ether, I feel like. Yeah.
That ain't from the comic book?
Nah, so that was from our own minds. We used to, we had a studio down in Was that when we were in Wilmington? We were in Wilmington or Carson. No, we were in Carson, and we had this studio that we called the Bomb Shelter. And now it's where we would just go and freestyle and, you know, Rhett, when he decided to show
y'all
up.
Call it what? Y'all call it what? The Bomb Shelter?
The Bomb Shelter.
That's crazy that you say that, because, like, we have a group out here in Fayetteville. I hate to cut you off, but you just made me think about that. One of our biggest groups out here, like, locally, was called Bomb Shelter. And then the guys that taught J. Cole how to make beats and stuff.
Oh, shit. Man, it's a small world. Just like there's a cartoon called The Visionaries that at the time we hadn't heard of. And, you know, until you know, you fast forward 10-15 years when now we have, you know, we have the means, we have the internet and things like that, where we can start looking shit up. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, damn, like, wow. Like, we didn't even know. At least I didn't. Like, that name came strictly out of a freestyle a moment, and us, you know, just kind of tossing around names and that getting thrown back in the mix, and we just all liked it, you know. There's some question of whether that came from Elemental or DJ Rhythmatic. I always attribute them both to the creation of the name. But yeah, it was straight from the mind. Like, we weren't trying to be anyone else but ourselves. And it's so strange how so many things are called visionaries now, and our logo in its own way has reached so many different people who have freaked their logos to be a, you know, but you can look at it and tell, like, okay, you know, we've been around.
Did you guys all know each other already once y'all formed the group?
Loosely. I mean, I knew Rhett and I knew Key Cool from two different circles, you know, because I was going out to different functions and I would run into Rhettmatic because he was DJing, and, you know, but then I also was working for a nightclub as well. And that was where I met Key Cool with a whole other promoter doing different things. And I didn't even know that they knew each other until they were working on the Cosmonauts. I met Danu when Danu came up from San Diego. He performed at one of the clubs that I worked at. So I met him and then introduced him to Key Cool. And then they just instantly became homies and, you know, Rhett. And then Elemental, Key knew Elemental. Like, Key's known Elemental since he was like 15 or 16 or something like that. So he was always talking about him whenever we would gather up, and we finally met him and clicked. And then Tumex came last because he was on Key Cool and Rhettmatic had a show at USC College. Excuse me, UCLA. Man, he would kill me for that. Okay. At UCLA, he had a show, and Rocka, Iris Sirens, and Tumex were on there. And from then, he started to come down and vibe with us. And once he jumped on, we kind of capped it out and was like, "That's the crew, right there." And shit, that was probably early 90s. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
So your first projects, like most of your first projects, were with Up Above Records. What can you tell us about Up Above Records?
So Doug Cato, who was managing Key Cool when I met him, came together with Key Cool, and I believe on and they formed this record company. So it was like an independent record company that at first was just us, and then, you know, as they began to do things, they got built up a roster where they, you know, they did things with Junior Gong, A. Marie, Dilla.
Okay.
Man, what's his name? One of the cats from the Far Side. Trey, Slim Kid, Trey. Yeah, they started to do things, you know, Kev Brown, some cats out of the East Coast too, because they had a, they had an office in New York. So yeah, but it was, you know, they got to, they got to do some big things for an independent, you know, but it was just a family affair where people assumed different positions so that we could, you know, so that we can get this moving, you know?
So I was going back, listening to some of the old records. Of course, If You Can't Say Love, that's one of y'all's biggest records, correct?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, video's got over a million hits, and it's been like that for a long time. It's not like it just hit it. Like, it hit that a long time ago, and now it's, since it's such an old video, it's kind of been where it is. But
yeah,
it got up to like a million hits, and yeah, over a million hits. That was the one. It was the one that was most listened to on streaming and all that. But it's kind of changed now. It's gone down a little bit. There's some other songs that are a little bit more popular right now. But yeah, that one is the one, you know, I would say.
Is something that stood out to me is y'all are a very, very diverse group.
Yep.
Like, when y'all came out, was there a lot of groups that was as diverse as y'all? I don't think there was.
No,
nope. There
still really isn't.
There isn't, right?
No. Not like we do.
I mean, it's
it.
Like y'all got almost every race of person I can almost think of in your group.
Well, yeah, because whoever they don't cover on their own, I mean, whoever they don't cover, I cover everybody else.
Yeah.
Because I have like five different nationalities. I'm black, but I'm black by proxy. You know what I mean? Because it's just, I'm black and I own that. But I also have, you know, four other cultures running through my blood. So, which some of them are shared with them. Because two of them are Filipino, and I have Filipino in me too. But then, you know, I have like Irish and I have indigenous on both sides, Irish on both sides, Italian on my dad's side. So, I'm mixed them, just a mixture of shit, man. So we pretty much cover the world, we cover the board, yo.
we do. From what I was told, I'm a European mutt. I heard I was like Irish, English, Scottish, Dutch, whatever that means.
Okay, well, because all of them were fighting each other, and not only were they fighting each other, but they were also moving into each other's territory. Like my family on my dad's side is Irish. Both sides are Irish, but on my dad's side was the first out of the Irish colonists to settle in Normandy. So you know, like this is the shit that was happening in the 14th, 15th, you know, 16th centuries and shit like that. So if you got European blood, in you, then it's most likely all kind of mixed up. You know, I got Creole in me too, so I feel like somewhere down there, if I was to go lick a cotton swab and shit, they would probably say I got some French and Spanish in me too.
So I saw this other video I was watching, Put It Together. I really thought it was a really cool idea how y'all, I immediately understood what was going on. Y'all guys are in a bunch of different places. Yeah. We need to do this video. Let's do it kind of like a podcast or a Zoom call. And everybody pretty much lip sync their video part. Like, who came up with that idea? I ain't never seen nothing like that.
Me.
Okay, I thought that was genius.
We were on lockdown.
Yeah,
this is when COVID was. Yeah, this is when COVID had us on lockdown, and we were putting out this album and needed another video, and we decided on that one. And I saw this commercial, and the commercial wasn't quite what I ended up making the video out to be, but the commercial that I saw inspired me to be like, no, like, and I just told everybody, I was like, look, just record yourself doing the verse and putting something together, whether you're, you know, cooking or shit, rolling a blunt, whatever, you know, put something yeah. together while you're so if you watch the video again, in every sequence, there's something being put together.
Okay.
You know, even James, when he was moving, like, you know, he's moving. Tumex had all of these edibles and all these things that he was unboxing and trying to put out. Danny was playing Scrabble with his daughter, putting words together, and he was putting together words that was in his verse. And then I, at the end, was putting together the video because I edited the video. I did a lot of the video. Kiku helped me and added some of his flavor to it, which is how we like to do it usually. If we're one of us edit something, the other will check it and add just some little flair. Some other, you know, don't take away from the original idea, but just add a little something. You know, he's editing video for us right now. You know, and he said, yeah, but the both of us usually, unless we go through a bigger company or something, we do the videos ourselves. So that was my concept. Those dudes came through, recorded their verses, got them to me, and I paneled them up and put it together.
That was smart, because you think about before COVID, people wasn't thinking about doing this remote stuff that much.
Like no.
remote interviews and stuff. And COVID yeah. forced the hand. It forced everybody's hand.
Yeah.
You know, because there was no in-house interviews. So everybody, even Breakfast Club, everybody was going remote. And then people yeah. realized, oh, hold up, this remote thing.
It's the shit,
this
right?
Could be a full
it's the shit.
Yeah. This full time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for real. Because so I'm like superhero Zen realism. In the, you know, with the visionaries, but when I'm yeah. not doing that, yeah. I'm a video editor, a graphic designer. I write code. I write all kinds of code and shit. So,
okay,
I work from home. You know, I take contracts and you know, and jobs. And I've worked from home for years. So, you know, so many more during COVID, so many more opportunities, contracts came yeah. towards me because you know, so many people are now turning to you know, to those services as opposed to, because no one was at work. So it was
yeah
it was in one way it was in one way it was such a hindrance because we couldn't do any shows, we couldn't do anything that we were accustomed to doing.
Yeah
but you know, the universe provides, because it also provided me with more at home work, because people needed people that were doing it. But I'm, you know, now the world is back to whatever the norm is after all of that, but I'm still doing the same thing. Like, I work at home, man. I don't go into anybody's office.
Now, COVID was great for me, because I've been doing music marketing for over 13-14 years.
Oh,
and
nice.
During COVID, like you said, there was no shows. So you wasn't spending the money on shows. Well, no live interviews, no live performances. Nobody's passing out flyers and street teaming because nobody's letting you touch them. Everybody's
exactly.
keeping their distance, masks.
Exactly.
So for me, it was like, you either got to promote your music online during COVID or wasn't getting promoted.
Right. Yeah, you had to step your game up. And I'm if you look at our followers, man, I'll laugh at myself, man. I am the worst. I have several thousand less followers than all of my crew members. Yeah, but it's because okay. I'm just not on there, man. I'm not.
Yeah.
I live on a slightly different frequency, I feel like, period. Yeah. That's just the crazy. That's me. So it takes motivation, like, oh, we got a show coming up. Oh, I got new singles coming out. Oh, this, that, and the other. But I'm just not documenting my life like most people do. And you really got to do that in order to show up in everybody's feeds and shit. You know, like, there's an algorithm to it. And once you fall out of that algorithm, then you ain't showing up in anybody's shit. And then the one time that you do show up and somebody likes it, then it starts to show up in other people's feed. Like I told you I write code, man. So I understand algorithms and patterns and all kinds of weird shit like that. So I know what it is, but I'm very loath to motivate myself to be any more involved than I am. So I have very little followers, you know, and people go to my page and I see and they're like, oh, you know, but I could tell, you know, Red's got like fucking 60,000 followers, you know, and then I'm like 2,500. But man, I do what I can, you know, I do what I can, but I'm not, I feel like COVID got me a little bit more involved because, you know, checking in and shit like that. And I've gotten into editing like little things for the stories, you know, like I'll edit a little video for the story. And because I spend the time doing it, I'll actually post it,
yeah,
you know, but I have to motivate myself where other people in the moment could be like, hey, I'm selfie. And tick, 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 tick. And I'm looking at them like, really? Like, okay. Taking pictures of their food and shit. And I'm eating already. I'm like, oh, no. Shit. We should have taken a picture of the food. Fuck. You know, but that's just how I am. And I still live. I live like we don't really have this shit, you know? And it dawns on me later, like, oh, I should have did this. I should have did that. I have a ton of pictures, yo. I can seriously go through my phone and do like a photo dump, and it'll take me like 5 posts to get out all the pictures. And the dope pictures, man, dope pictures with like artists that y'all know and love, and pictures with like, yeah, at shows and all kinds of shit. But I never posted them. Never posted them. I look at that shit like, damn, that shit was 2 years ago. What the fuck?
No, trying to build a social media is a full-time job even when you're not getting paid for it. So, and I posted something recently talking about, you know, the social media stuff isn't real. You got to be happy in real life.
Yes.
Not social media life, because social media can drive you. It could drive you crazy.
Bruh.
My timeline, they'll throw everything that I hate on my timeline.
No, bruh. That's what I'm saying. And that's my incentive to be like, nah, I don't fuck this. Yeah. I don't want to fuck with it because I see so much shit. And then, you know, like it's one thing to see other people's shit that show up, because IG shows you all kinds of bullshit, like suggested and all kinds of shit. So it ain't necessarily your people, you know.
Yeah.
But Facebook, man, Facebook, I feel like is people's therapy. And then I know people. It's like, man, I know you.
Yeah.
I know you. Facebook, and you just decided to throw that shit out there to the world because you were upset in the moment. And I bet you when you think about this shit, you're going to take it down. And, you know, sure enough, man, you go back later and that shit's taken down because they're like, damn, you know. But to me, that's what it's become. You know, it's become a gender battle, a religious battle, a war against the world battle, a woke against the sleep battle, like, you know, and everybody shares a little bit of what they're talking about. You know, you call somebody else out and it's really, you know, you really pointing one finger while three are still pointing back at you. Like you, and people just don't realize that. So it gets disheartening to me. Like, you know, the other day, a friend of mine, she posted some shit about men. And I was like, well, you know, right off the bat, I'm like, damn, she's been hurt, you know? I've been hurt too, but you know, I'm not gonna be like all women are like this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But she made this blanket statement, you know, and I'm like, well, you're talking about your brother, you're talking about your dad, you're talking about your son, you're talking about me, if you make it that open, you know, like I can say that some people are a certain way. I don't even have to be gender specific. I can say some people are a certain way, and we can meet women like that that do it their way, and men like that that do it their way. And, you know, fuck, man, this is 2025. We got a whole gray area of motherfuckers that don't even identify with either one that is still embodying the same bullshit. You know, you're like, I'm a they, but I'm still an asshole. You know? So it's like, what? So I've just. Yeah, man, I withdraw myself because I'm also the type of person where I'll make comments on your shit, you know, and the only way to nod is just to nod, because I'll be like, really, that's what you think? Okay. And I was like that years ago, but now I'm in this cave that everybody is telling me that I need to climb up. This interview is part of that to me. Climbing out of the Zen cave, because I've really been like hibernating for a minute.
Yeah, but you know, social media, one thing about social media is it creates a lot of followers and not a lot of leaders, you know?
Whoo, well said. Well said.
A lot of followers, not a lot of leaders, because everything's about following, you know, followers.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of leaders. I mean, I've heard a saying, there's 5% evil people, 5% saints in the world, and the other 90% are just sheep. 5% saints, 5% evil people, and the other 90% are just,
I get that,
follow whoever, you know.
I think so. Here's my thing. I feel like the saints and the saints and the sinners amongst the 5% that you talk about, and then the 90% sheep all can fall into the same thing. Like, check. So a spiritual person who's really on top of their shit, you know, they start their social media page, and fuck, man, now they got 150,000 followers. Now the raw part of them that inspired them to make that page is not there anymore, because now they have 125,000 people that their mind is telling them that they have to cater to. So now it becomes like, I follow people, because when IG first started, dude, I jumped in, yo, you know, because I was like, oh, it's just pictures and blah, 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 blah. So I jumped in and I followed like a bunch of people, and man, so like every once in a while I'll come past someone and I'll be like, who the fuck is this? And I'll go and I'll look at their feed, you know, look at their page, and I'm going through all their pictures and shit, and I'm like, man, this is some crazy shit. Like, what the fuck? And I'll finally get down to a picture like fucking 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or something like that I'll recognize and be like, oh, that's why I followed that person. And then everything before that, I'll be something else. You know, but out of nowhere, something inspired them to be different with how they present themselves. And then that's what they've gone about doing. And shit, man, they don't show up in my feed, or I don't see them enough to recognize and see it. But, you know, they change. And, you know, I feel like the change happens on both sides. People see that you're becoming popular and the people around you change, but also, you know, there are some people that actually change with their popularity and you know, and not only because they get caught up in it, but also because, fuck, man, we can narrow it down to the music industry itself, and we could say that, you know, like once you get to a certain point, now you got people that are urging you to do it this way or that way because, you know, this is going to do this and this is going to do that. And, you know, you want to do this because you do want to get paid, man. There's the thing. Yeah. We want to sustain ourselves off of our passion. So the minute that we tie those two together, there's a creative aspect that is open and free. But then there's the business aspect that is in a box, yeah. You know, and you somehow gotta somehow play the game while maintaining your creative expression, which is hard, you know, for a lot of people. And it's real easy to just get caught up. And, you know, once you reach a million followers, and, you know, I think whatever it was that you first started with has changed. You might still be on the same subject, but the way that you present it and the way that you do it is completely different. And now you got sponsors and shit. So you got to every once in a while have on some headphones. You know, like it turns into a whole other ball game in itself. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And I feel like there's a part of me that's willing to do that. But then there's another part of me that's like, man.
No, that makes sense. There's an artist that I was a fanatic of. And as I said, was a fanatic of, and I think he went through a moment like that, and that was Joyner Lucas, where he made these kind of visuals, this package deal of the audio with the visuals, the way he would concept them. And then when he started getting bigger, he just started just doing stuff that kind of just fit everything else, you know, to sound like everything else. But I got this question. I want to get some more questions. DJ Rec-matic.
That guy.
How important is he for the visionaries?
Oh, man. Just as important as any other player, you know?
Yeah.
But he's the backbone. You know, he's the music provider. He's the DJ, but also the, you know, and traditional, you know, the culture of hip hop, the DJ is the one that's running the show.
Yeah.
You know, so he is the controller of the show, and we just kind of fall in line, you know. And you know, he has to be aware of so many things at one time, not just us, but sound and different things. And you know, while, you know, we're jumping around on stage and shit, like, very important, man. Very important. That's my dude. That's my dude. I'm glad that we have an astute, smart, and systematic DJ with us. He's yeah, love that guy. Love that guy. We couldn't do it without him, you know.
So I saw where it said someone described you as the mystic seventh of a six-man crew. Is that true?
Oh, because so I say that in a song. Fuck, man, I don't even know what song that is, but I say I'm the seventh of a six-man crew. Whole lot ghosts in the shell. And yeah, like I don't know, that's something hard to put into words, but it was something that I spoke on a little earlier where I say I kind of live on a different frequency. You know, like, I'm here and I'm participating in this whole unfolding and what's going on, but I also have my foot in into a whole other realm that people, that 90% that you were talking about, like, may get glimpses of enough to know that there's something there, but they're not in that realm. And you know, most of the other 10% that you're talking about is not either. So like, I feel like I've said to them often when everyone's talking at the same time, I'll tell them that they're the voices in my head. Like, you sound like the voices in my head, you know? And it is like, I'm very much like the oversoul of the, I don't know. I can't put it into words. Like I said, it's just something that I tap into within my frequency of being in this crew that is solely mine to do. And I was, yeah, just kind of throwing it out there numerically and esoterically for the people that actually get what I'm saying.
So let's talk about some of your solo projects. I mean, I know y'all had like a 14-year hiatus between your fourth album and
kind of.
I'm guessing life just took over. You know, families and solo projects. So you dropped a solo project 2014. Now, as a group member, when a guy starts to do a solo, do you think it always could be like a good or a special moment to like show that you can hold your own individually as well? Because I think all artists at the end of the day still got to show that they can hold their own individually.
So I think, and I feel like if you were talking to any one of us in the crew, we would all say the same thing. I think what we do together is super strong, but I feel like what we do as individuals only gives power, you know, gives power to what we do as a crew. Because now you get to see, I don't know, it's like watching a TV show, you know, and you like all of these characters, but what makes you like those characters more is when you see their backstory.
Yeah.
You know, and what makes them who they are. And that's kind of what our solo projects are. It's just all like showing like kind of like who we are when we're not standing on a stage with our other five crew members. Me, specifically for me, it's a way for me to, I do a lot of things, man. I play instruments. I sing. I do all kinds of shit. So for me, it's an outlet. Plus, you know, like I did years ago in 2006, I think for one, 2006 and maybe 2008 or something like that with the other. I did a Lux Collective project with this cat named David Harrell, who used to be in Lee Scratch Perry's band, like just real sick producer, but like on this electronic kind of dub reggae vibe. And I did these because I could say my shit and say it my way without worrying about squeezing 8 bars or 12 bars into it. You know what I mean? But the whole time that I did that, I wanted my folks to be involved, you know? So Danny was on one song on the first album, the second album, Key Cool. And I had this really dope song that I was doing with 2Mex, but we never got to put it out. And it was one of the, man, I wish we would've got that shit done, cause it was fucking hot. Yo, it was so dope. And we just never finalized it. And now you fast forward years later, and you know, it's really hard to recapture something that was so long ago. But we were working on this song that was just, you know, just taught to death. But the thing is we took like a 14-year hiatus as a crew, but you know, as a family and as brothers, as brothers, you know, we were still hanging out. And whoever was doing something, you know, we always showed up, you know. So we're on, you know, we're on 2Mex's solos. They're on mine. We were on Danny's, like, you know, we're spread throughout because Elemental has so many, but we're spread throughout. Like, we all have songs when, like, we always stayed, you know, creating. We just didn't do a cumulative project for 14 years, you know, but we were all doing shit. I got three albums worth of music right now that I'm releasing slowly, but I got three albums coming out right now, you know. That's in some ways kind of, I wrote some of the songs like years ago, but they're very pertinent to what's going on in the world right now. And you know, so we're pushing to get these projects out. But they're just, you know, those are sides of me as I'm a visionary, yo. I'm crew. That's my crew. So it's always going to be that, if that makes sense, you know, like whatever we do separately is always for the crew.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask the future plans. And so you basically got like three albums on the way. Cause I know you said it shows you dropped some singles last year, The Truth, Ozen, and Impressions.
Yeah, so Impressions is a single off the first album that I'm about to release called Flight Manual.
Okay.
Which is exactly what it is. Like, I drop all of these kind of esoteric seeds, but into like this, just, I don't know, it's just music, you know? Like, I didn't try to come up with with a really strong piece to tie them all together, other than me being me, and just dropping some music. The second album is more introspective, and that's what. So the circle means Zen. That's the symbol for Zen, is a circle in the Japanese culture. But I have to put Zen in parentheses so that people don't call it oh. But you know, but yeah, that's what that is, and that's about me specifically. And you know, kind of really quickly in two verses summing up that I've been through a lot of shit, and you know, and I found peace and Zen myself, basically. But that other shit is still in me. And then the third one, The Truth, is a single off of the third album, which is for the ladies. I wrote a lot of songs throughout the years, last few years, that were, you know, playfully about relationships, playfully about the interaction between men and women, but also some deeper ones that, you know, get into some of my relationship experiences and shit. And then some other ones that are purely you know, spiritual in the sense of, you know, recognizing the divine feminine and realizing that that's, you know, the yin to my yang and something that I'm working on internally and not, you know, necessarily with the women that come into my life to show me these parts of myself, you know. So it's pretty in depth. That covers a lot. Some of the songs are pretty playful. Other ones are a little deeper, but they're all like in this kind of just musical package where if you can get what I'm saying, cool. If not, then you got like these just cool songs. And then I don't know, like, you know, the Dame praise it. It's not a whole album praising up the feminine. Like it's some shit. You know, like I say some shit that might piss some females off, but fuck it. You know, so I have those three coming up and I'm releasing one more single off of each project before I release the first project. And then I'm going to let the other two projects come out when they do. But I wanted to give the nuances, you know.
So something we talk about a lot on this podcast is like, because I had Q Unique on here from The Arsonist, and we talked about this heavy.
Yeah.
So in rock and roll, all the old schoolers, they just get, they're like gods.
Right.
Hip hop, they tell everybody in hip hop that we got to stop rapping after 35. Where do you think this is where is this coming from, and why do you think they only say hip hop?
I think because, you know, from its inception, you know, before we were calling it hip hop, it was predominantly, you know, like 18, 19, 20, it was young cats, you know. But it was young cats because it was a young form of expression at the time, you know. And
yeah,
even if you get all the way up to the 80s and you got like young cats, like when NWA came out, they were all young and shit. But yeah, even at the time, you know, hip hop was still, you know, a youngster. It was, you know, barely getting out of grade school to go to junior high school, you know. So I just feel like we've been following for so long this persona that comes with it that is youthful, that, you know, it's taking a moment before we start to realize, like, man, that shit is like, you know, somewhere is around 50 years old. I know they had this big celebration of it, but I was around when it started, you know, because I'm older. It's like, yeah, I'm four years younger than hip hop.
I'm 4 years younger than hip hop.
Okay, so I'm like 7 years older than fucking hip hop. So, you know, like I was fucking in grade school doing waves and fucking backsliding and doing all of this shit, because that was, you know, we're like, we're doing all that shit. You know, we were in it before we knew what we were into. But, you know, it was a useful thing. And I feel like now we're getting to the point where even some of our, you know, like some of our hip hop pioneers are older, and you know, we still want to hear from those cats, you know, but to the general populace, it's just youthful. You know, it's funny because you say that and you ask that question, because like maybe 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was, it couldn't have been that much longer. My mom and my step pops they have like this little bar around the corner from where they live. Yeah, every once in a while when I go, because I don't live in Southern Cali, I go down there when I got shit to do, and then I come back home to Central Cali. But I was down there visiting, and I was like, all right, man, I'll be back, man. I'm gonna go to the bar. And I went to the bar and I met this cat, yo. So we've all met this cat that knows everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, according to him, he knows fucking everybody. So he's talking about all these fucking people that he knows. And I'm just like, yo. And I feel like everything is a reflection. So I'm like, man, I may not remember that shit, but maybe I was playing that dumbass bullshit when I was in my early 20s or some shit like that. You know, it's been a long time since I've been a type of person like that, because I usually try to keep to myself a lot of times. But this dude is talking about, you know, the people he knows and all the stuff that he could do, you know, for a motherfucker to get me
to get me off my feet, you know, to get me going. Cause I just told him I was a musician. I didn't tell him that I was a known musician or anything. I just told him that I was a musician. So he starts naming off all these people and all this shit, you know, that he's involved in about, you know, and I can't remember, but he mentioned a couple of people and I was like, oh yeah, you know, like, yeah, I know you talk about this and the other, da 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 da. And as we were talking, you know, like, I ended up telling him because he was talking about some old shit. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if you know about that or whatever. And I looked at him and I was like, man, bro, like, I'm in my 50s, yo. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So he went instantly, because I'm not even talking about, like, even a moment of thought, yo. Like, he went instantly from, like, yo, I got you, like, I know a whole bunch of people and I'm about to turn you into a star, to like, damn, bro, you old, man, your career is over, man, you should start trying to think about doing something else. And, you know,
not knowing, you y'all came out in 98.
Yeah, you know, like, I was 95, yo, like, you know. And I'm like, you know, at that point, I didn't really have, I wasn't going to go into, you know, I'm not that dude. Like, I'm not going to be like, yo, no, look, you know, like, I was like, if that's what you think, man, good on you. But I've been doing this shit for over 30 years, yo. And I've done so much shit that if you really were as connected as you were, as he was saying he was, then he would have already known, you know. And I was like, all right, bro, we'll just let you talk. But that's, you know, he reacted in a moment once he discovered how old I was. I mean, I was washed up and I was done and shit, you know. But look,
let me ask you this, though.
I look like the same cat, whether I tell you how old I am or not. You know what I'm saying? So what you're saying is, if I don't tell anybody how old I am, then I got a chance. Is that what you're saying? Like, what, this white hair is here. Anyway, what are you saying?
We know rapping at the 35, like, the stop rapping at the 35 is BS, because last year, you know, the best albums were probably from, like, LL and Common and Pete Rock and Tyler the Creator. And we know J. Cole's getting up there in age. Kendrick's getting up there in age. A lot of the older cats put out better albums.
Yeah.
But is there an age limit on establishing yourself as an artist in this business?
I don't think so.
What about hip hop?
I don't think so. I think that's part of the bullshit that we put on top of it, you know, because you got to be stupid young teens to be talking about all of the dumb shit and doing all the fucking off shit.
Yeah,
you know, because you can't be no fucking 40-year-old man talking that dumb shit, because you sound like a dumbass
nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but I think that there's enough people in the world that listen to music that'll fucking listen to your shit regardless and be like, yo, this shit is dope. I don't know what the fuck you motherfuckers is talking about, but this shit is dope. You know, I got shit right now. Like, you'll see as it comes out, if you pay attention to our releases and shit, then you'll see when my shit comes out, man. I got shit that's different, yo. And I mean different. I don't mean like I'm on some other shit different. I mean like different from Visionary, you know. Like, I got shit that's like commercial, that could be on commercial, you know. Like, I got shit because I just make music, you feel me? Like, I'm a musician, so if I feel like I got a couple of songs on my albums where I'm playing the saxophone and shit, just because I play the saxophone, so I was doing some shit, you know. And capitalizing on it, you know. I got songs where you know, like, I remember certain vibes of hip hop back in the day where I'm just like, man, I just want to be on that vibe type of shit. Like, it's not like I don't know how to explain it. It's not like the network of what the Visionaries is, you know what I mean? Like, the Visionaries has a particular sound, you know. And I am someone who's all over the place. You know, I got songs where I'm not even rapping, where I'm just singing, you know. And I got songs where I'm singing, where I'm like actually singing. And then I got songs where I'm I'm trying to think of someone who's like that, but all I'm thinking of is actually singers right now. But you know, there's some artists that are out that are not really singers, but they know how to carry a tune well enough to where they can make a pop song. And I have songs like that. Like I have songs where I'm just having fun. So I'm not really trying to get real deep with it. But then I have other songs, man, where I'm singing and harmonizing. Like I just do a lot of stuff. And I feel like people that have no idea who I am, if I promote it right and if I get it out there, you know, just so that it's heard, it can get heard and thrown in the streams. People who don't even know who I am are going to like the songs just because they fit into a certain category of songs that they listen to, whether it be R&B or, you know, slightly pop shit or whatever. Because I was just making songs, you know. Yeah. Like when I'm by myself, I'm like, fuck it. I got a rock song, you know, but it's me though. It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like Beyonce does country, you know what I mean? where you're trying to capture a fucking, like, I wanna find country me. No. It's a rock. It's a you know, because we play instruments and I got homies that play instruments, so they just made this beat and I was just like, all right. So I sang this song, but to me, it's me. And everyone that I played it for says the same thing. Like, they're just like, it's rock. It's a rock song, but it's you. It's not like you're trying to make a rock song, you know? And that's just because I felt it in a moment, you know? So that's what I mean. Like, I have a whole bunch of stuff coming out and I feel like, you know, Tumex is another brother that's like that. Like, Tumex likes a lot of, you know, 80s music and shit like that. So when he does his solo projects, he gets to do all of this crazy shit that you know, that's not on the visionary shit, man. And I think it's important that we do that, you know.
Yeah, I'm about to try to have him up on here too. We about to wrap it up though, man. I think me and you could probably chop it up every, like, all day long. You're a really nice dude.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it,
like,
brother.
Yeah, man. And, you know, you're more than welcome to come back on, especially when, like, you drop the album and if you want to talk about, you know, anything.
Yeah, if we could do that, that would be real good. That would be real good because I would have more shit in my head right now. You know, like, this past week, we've just been preparing for the show, which, you know, for anybody who might be tuning in on the Southern Cali side, we'll be at the L.A. Coliseum on Saturday. The Rhyme Fest with DJ Quick, Exhibit, Raekwon, and Ghostface. I guess it's going to be a lineup of...
That's going to be a nice show.
It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. You know, I've been preparing for that. And Visionaries has some new stuff coming out. We are releasing it in tandem, like with other things. So... And with this new age of things, we are going with the times and not necessarily, you know, vinyling everything up. And, you know, we're just releasing things as we do. So, everybody stay tuned and check, you know, visionarieshiphop.com and the Visionaries at IG and on Facebook. And, stay in touch with, you know, stay in touch with us, man. You know, I got you locked in from now on too. Now I never really peeped your show until you sent me a thing, and I was peeping a couple of other things, yo. So, yeah, let's.
Yeah, I mainly interview a lot of artists from the '90s era, which is my favorite era, and some '80s artists. I've had some.
Me too.
You know, a few R&B cats like, you know, Lenny Williams and Melvin Riley and stuff like that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of legends. If you go back, and look at some of the people I've had on here, I mean, I've had a lot of legends. You know, like doing music promotion through the years has helped me build a lot of relationships. So I do promotion for Lenny Williams and Melvin Riley through a friend of mine. So, you know, I just use those relationships to get the interviews. You know,
man, that yeah, used to
Lenny,
be one of my
Lenny's amazing. Lenny's amazing, yo.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the cut. Yeah, one of his biggest cut. Yeah, that's yeah. Right on, man. Well, let's stay in touch, brother. I'll reach out when you know. I'll reach out when I have.
And I'm gonna send you the email too. I do music reviews on Saturday, so if y'all got any solos or any group projects,
oh, for sure, you know. For sure. We got a ton of them, man. So
yeah,
we'll get those to you, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate
it. Yep. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Big
enjoy the rest of your day, man.
You too, man. You too.
All right. Peace.
Yeah, man. Peace and blessings. Yeah, yeah. Love you all. All
right. Peace.
Peace.
Well, there you have it. A lot of 80s hip hop, a lot of 90s hip hop on here. What can I say? I'm biased towards the 90s. And Lord Zen, the Visionaries, they got a show coming up, Rhyme Fest. Go check that out. Go check out the albums. They got at least, I want to say, 5 or 6 group albums. They got a lot of solo albums. We're going to try to get 2 Mex on here. I actually got the number. I got to call and reach out and set up the interview. I don't think there's anything crazy that's happened in the hip-hop world. I know last week I talked about Will.i.am saying, that Black Thought was a trillion times better than Jay-Z. I think most people are really getting upset about the trillion times. Like, you know, you didn't say like 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times. I said a trillion times. You know, I mean, Jay-Z's a really huge artist to, I think, be a trillion times better than, in my opinion. You know, I think most like real pure hip hop heads might would pick Black Thought over Jay-Z. But I think the masses would pick Jay-Z, just his popularity, his legend, just what he's done outside of hip hop as a businessman is just took him to, you know, a whole nother realm. We about to wrap it up. We go live every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. If we got interviews, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And Saturdays is usually 4 p.m., 5 p.m. Eastern time with the music reviews. We go live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Audio version will be downloaded after the podcast is over and uploaded to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Appreciate y'all tuning in. I'm the one and only Paul Masson, live from Vietnam. And we about to wrap it up. Peace.